This will be my third time speaking before a group of in front of this church body, and it'll probably be my last time since I am going to college in the fall. The first time I spoke was 3.5 years ago at confirmation, and other students and I in my grade made faith statements about our belief in God and why we wanted to join the church. And the second time was a little over a year ago at a deacon meeting. It was on the first Tuesday of every month, and we gathered at night, and one person gave their testimony. I spoke about how Mrs. Barbara Garrity had affected my growth as a Christian and as a person. My faith statement I had prepared weeks in advance and had read it several times by Pastor Mark Orr, my mother, and anybody I could convince to edit it. My testimony at the deacon meeting was made over the weekend before the Tuesday when I read it, and I had my mom look it over before I stood up and presented it. Unfortunately, the time I allotted for preparation has continually decreased as the number of speeches I gave increased. So yes, I wrote this one last night, and no, I did not have anybody proofread it. I wanted to bring back my faith statement from when I was a freshman, since I did put so much work into it. We were told to have a part including why we wanted to join the church, and I wanted to read why I originally wanted to join this church that has been my family for the past 18 and a half years. I want to join this church because it gives me an opportunity to grow in my faith. Being around other Christians will help me honor God at all times. Also, this church gives a way for me to worship with other believers. With the support of all the church members, I will love God because in Mark 12, 30 through 31, he says, "Love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind and with all your strength, and love your neighbor as yourself." He goes on to tell us that there are no greater commandments than these. By joining this church, I hope to live by these commandments now and always. I'm here today to tell you that it has been a success. I fulfilled these commandments with the time I spent involved in various church activities. If we look at Mark 12:30, it says, "Love the Lord your God with all your heart." This immediately makes me think of Mrs. Vosburg. I was fortunate enough to help Mrs. V this year with a sixth grade small group. The way she loved the girls in the group and anyone who she interacted with is inspiring and almost contagious. If you've ever received a note or a card from Mrs. V, you will notice that her little symbol is a heart with a cross inside of it. Mrs. V loves God through her service and dedication. She volunteered countless hours into preparing and conducting this small group in hopes that these girls would in turn love God a little more. I learned from her to be selfless and give your time to loving God. And with all your soul. I have learned to love God with all my soul from Mike Orr. It is obvious that he is deeply passionate about Jesus. He has taught me it is important to have a personal relationship with him. He led by example. Everything about Mike indicates that his whole purpose is to inspire kids about getting to know Jesus. He encouraged a soulful relationship with God by setting up Bible studies, trips, activities, and other things so I could learn to love God with all my soul. And with all your mind. I think we all have doubts about God, and that's okay. The person who really made me think about God is Tara. Tara led a small group, including me and Claire and Rachel, in which we were forced to think about God. By doing this, she slowly erased all doubt in my mind. She challenged our ideas, brought up hard topics, and made us more aware of what it means to be a Christian, especially in today's world. By eliminating doubt, there was only room for love. Tara enabled me to love God with all my mind through a Bible study that included a lot of laughing, but also a lot of lessons that helped me achieve the commandment in Mark 12:30 over the past couple of years. The final commandment, and with all your strength. Thinking of strength and perseverance makes me think of Mrs. Barbara Garrity. I spoke about my favorite memories with Mrs. Garrity to the deacons last year, the ones that not many people had the chance to experience. I wanted to share a paragraph from what I spoke to the deacons. My final favorite memory was last spring, just after she had been diagnosed with cancer again. My mom, like Mrs. Garrity, was an avid gardener, and after Barbara had been diagnosed, it seems like we were over there every week to deliver a new plant and help her put it into her ever-growing garden. It was at this time Barbara had just begun treatment, and her hair had begun to fall out. As she picked her first hairs that had fallen on her black shirt, she exclaimed, "Ugh, not again. My hair is falling out." The way she said it was amazing. Her ability to face such a hard thing as losing hair, going through the pain of treatment, and still being there to support every one of us amazes me. To me, there is no greater strength. Mrs. Garrity showed the strength to trust God with her life. Just by osmosis, I learned her strength. She showed the strength needed, and she loved God no matter what happened to her. So I wanted to say thank you to this entire church body and those individuals that I talked about for nurturing me in the time that I have spent here. Coming back to Mark 12:30, love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind and with all your strength. I wanted to thank you for helping me learn what this verse means. I want to thank you even more for showing me how to live this every day. As I prepare to go to college in the fall, I hope to continue living my life, loving God. But it would not have been possible without those who have taught me to do so and started me on the right track.
I have been a part of NPC's youth program since eighth grade. I started by going to shack and small groups. I have sung for the Engage Band, and my sophomore year, I served as a youth deacon. I have had some amazing experiences being a part of this extraordinary group. One way in which God has worked in my life is through the people I've met at NPC. I especially see God working through the leaders. God has blessed us with wonderful leadership at NPC. All of our leaders, whether they are youth ministry staff or volunteers, come to us with open hearts and experiences to share. Each of them has shown me the love of God in their own unique way. I have been fortunate to come away from small groups and other programs knowing just how much Jesus loves me, but also how to be a strong Christian and defend my faith, and for that I want to thank all of you. Another way I've seen God working in my life has been through my own experiences. Those of you who know me well know that the past 2 years have been pretty difficult. For a while, I was so lost that I had no idea where God was pointing me. I had no direction in my life. But thanks to some wonderful people, youth leaders included, I got through it. Now, as I take a step back, it is clear to me why God wanted me to have those experiences. I am now able to use what I experienced to help other people. I can be an example to someone in the situation I was in and can say to him or her with confidence, "You will survive this." I have learned so much from the past 2 years. One of the lessons I learned is that everything happens for a reason. God has a plan for each of us. In this plan, there are both good times and bad times. In Romans 5:3-5, the Apostle Paul writes, "Not only so, but we also rejoice in our sufferings because we know that suffering produces perseverance, perseverance character, and character hope. And hope does not disappoint us because God has poured out his love into our hearts by the Holy Spirit whom he has given us." I love this passage because it really explains why difficult times are necessary in life. If everything were perfect all the time, we would never develop such important aspects of our makeup. Through suffering, we learn how to persevere. This gives us character. And through character, we are given hope. Hope for the future, hope that will not let us down. After making it through the difficult times in my life, I have so much hope for what is to come. I know that great things lie ahead of me and that God will always be watching me in whatever I do. Thank you.
I'm going to be reading the word of the Lord. Judges 7:1-8. Then Jerubbaal, that is Gideon, and all of his men that were camped at the spring of Herod. The camp of Midian was north of them in the valley near the hill of Moreh. The Lord said to Gideon, "You have too many men for me to deliver Midian into their hands. In order that Israel may not boast against me that her own strength has saved her, announce now to the people. Anyone who trembles with fear may turn back and leave Mount Gilead." So 22,000 men left, while 10,000 remained. But the Lord said to Gideon, "There are still too many men. Take them down to the water, and I will sift them for you there. If I say, 'This one shall go with you,' he shall go. But if I say, 'This one shall not go with you,' he shall not go." So Gideon took the men down to the water. There the Lord told him, "Separate those who lap the water with their tongue like the dog from those who kneel down to drink." 300 men lapped with their hands to their mouths. All the rest got down on their knees to drink. The Lord said to Gideon, "With the 300 men that lapped, I will save you and give the Midianites into your hands. Let all the other men go, each to his own place." So Gideon sent the rest of the Israelites to their tents, but kept the 300, who took over the provisions and trumpets of the others.
Thank you, Olivia. Thank you to everyone who shared and made this morning and the worship possible. We were this this summer we have the blessing of two interns we've had for many years, of Sarah Thompson and Matt Shute. And depending upon how your memory is, last year they were the two youth who gave their testimonies. So we decided that that's going to be our number one application question for interns. Did you share at Youth Sunday? So maybe next year this time we'll be introducing Hannah and Claire as our interns. We are excited about where they are going. Hannah is heading to Miami University in Florida to study marine biology. Is that correct? Yeah, I knew it was something with fish in the ocean, which is a great place to be in Miami. And Claire is heading to Lesley College up in Massachusetts, so we're excited about them going to college and for the way this church sends people into each school as they go and learn and just to expand their understanding of the world. Since I've been here, this is my third Youth Sunday to be here, and I realized early on this is a great opportunity to share with the congregation some of the great things that are going on in children and youth ministry and where we are headed in that, and then also a little bit of reflection on our volunteers and the word that that Olivia shared with us this morning. It's a great day to have this with VBS beginning here this evening. As Tony alluded to, we serve over 200 kids during VBS, and I think it was May 31st, we had to actually close registration because we had so many kids. And then we had someone on Thursday call and try to register their son or daughter for VBS. So it's great to have such a demand for kids that want to come and hear and learn about the Word of the Lord. Last Sunday, we had a training for our youth volunteers. And just to show the way that the songs and the message of Christ gets in these kids, I asked them to share with me the song John 3:16, which was about 5 years ago in VBS from, I think, Lava Lava Island. And most of these kids from about 5 or 6 years ago could sing the whole song. And I bet a lot of them could not even recite John 3:16, but they knew how to sing it because they had heard Mrs. Washer or Mrs. Woodbury dancing on a stage singing John 3:16. So every night and every morning as they come together, they're going to be singing the Word of God. And for months to come, and I know for my kids, I'll be hearing it over and over again as I drive in the car. And parents, when you start driving in the car and you're singing the songs, and you look and realize, they're not in here. I don't have to listen to this. So it's a great time every once in a while. So there are some wonderful songs that we have. And one of the things that is always a desire, I think, of VBS is the excitement, the fun that comes in the learning of these kids, and always the question of how can we do this. Not every week, but how can we capture this a little bit more? And there's a part of the strategic study team that looked at our church, and the three ideas that came forward are to begin, build, and broadcast our faith. And the three main things to work on or to strengthen were worship, mission, and children and youth ministry. And I was a part of that team, and one of the things that we really came out seeing was the need for something throughout the week to strengthen the ministry of our children. And a lot of hurdles and some transitions came around before we really felt we could go forward with that. With Dwayne coming on board and Tony Ann, we were excited that in the early part of October, the plans and the details are coming together to have a midweek Wednesday program that'll be a miniature version of VBS with a lesson, with a craft, with music, with recreation. And Dwayne and Jennifer are excited about working on some specific music for Christmas and other things that will give the kids an opportunity to come together, and also the youth an opportunity to serve these kids throughout the year and continue some of the relationships that are built during VBS into this midweek program. We don't have a name for it, so if you have a great idea for a midweek children's program name, we're open for ideas. We continue with a wonderful Sunday school program as we give our teachers a break during the summer, but at 10 o'clock we'll have the opportunity for children that's led by Tony Ann and Samantha down in the gym. Student ministry has had a year of our staff being all together with Abby Young and Mike Orr. Abby, I think it was on June 2nd, she said, this is my one-year anniversary, and as we plan, it's no longer, this is what we did, but her saying, I remember this, which any of you who have been in a new job or a new position know that the opportunity for experience of knowing people and knowing what's going on is a great blessing. Some of the changes that we're making that you'll see in the summer and then more full full scale in the fall is Harbor. The middle school program is going to move back to Wednesday night. It'll be every Wednesday in the summer. It'll be on Wednesday nights when we are in town. There are many trips that are going on, so when we're in town, we'll have Harbor from 7 to 8:30. Great time of a games fellowship, learning a lot of what you heard from Hannah and Claire began at Shack, as it used to be called, or at Harbor, where we come together and just have a good time. One of the things that's going to be a little bit different in the fall is that we are going to have, on Wednesday night, is going to be 7th and 8th grade Harbor only. And on Tuesday nights, every other week on Tuesday, is going to be specifically for 6th grade Harbor. We have a name, we think, Harbor Lights, but it might get changed also. Great. I think we do a good job of coming up with programs, but the names sometimes have to be morphed into to create their identity. And then also we look forward to in the latter part of the spring of, while the fifth graders are still in school, of bringing them up and let them be a part of the student ministries as they get towards the end of their fifth grade year. We're also hoping to increase small groups. We've had some great small group leaders this past year, but we're only limited oftentimes by the schedules of our students with sports and things, but also by volunteers. So we hope to increase the number of small groups that we have. And everything that I've said, both for children and youth ministry, couldn't happen without the volunteers. I know it's been said more than once, but on that yellow sheet of paper are 85 names of people that have given their time of on Saturday afternoon, Saturday evening, preparing a lesson, or going away on a ski retreat for a weekend to be with middle school kids or high school kids. But it's impossible to do without these volunteers. But one of the questions I want to ask, whether you're one of these people who's serving the children and youth, or one of the people who's not, or maybe you're serving in another capacity, is why do you serve? Why do you serve these people? I look at things like Henley Happenings and other events that go on with our schools, and there are literally hundreds of parents that come to flip burgers for an event or sell tickets for an event, and they're trying to increase the money or whatever it is for their school, for their child's education. But why do we come to church to teach kids about about Jesus Christ? We look at Gideon, where God is going to give is prepared for them to take over the Midianites. And there are 37,000 soldiers that Gideon has this command to go and defeat this army. And he says to them, he says, these 37,000 people, it's going to be tough. And so if you're not ready to go and fight what might be a difficult battle, why don't you just go on home? And when he says that, 27,000 people left, and he's left with 10,000 people. So I'm sure Gideon at this moment is thinking, okay, God, you know what's best. You told me to ask those who are strong to stick around and the others to go home. And I've got 27,000, or I've got 10,000. That's not enough. But God looks at him, those 10,000, and says, no, that's still too many. And Gideon, I'm sure, is thinking, there's no way. 10,000 is just barely enough. And he has him, goes down the river and drinks. And those who lap up the water like a dog or use their hand, he divides them again. And he's left with only 300 people. So he goes from 37,000 to 300 to go and defeat an army. Because he goes with the power of God, he's able to conquer them, as we read later. We almost had a similar situation here at the church about a week ago. We had more volunteers for the evening VBS than we had for actually students or kids who are coming. So I told Tony Ann, we'll get them to go to the water fountain and see how they drink water, and we'll separate them out. But we were able to separate them or to get enough. But that's a great, overwhelming response to volunteers. What a great problem to be able to have to tell volunteers, we've got enough. We don't need it. We don't need any more. And the great thing that we know when we volunteer, when we say to the Lord, hey, we're willing to step forward and serve you, he gives us what we need. He gives us the tools. But again, I ask, why do we serve? And I hope for every one of these 85 people and the others who either missed or serve in other wonderful areas, they serve out of the love of Jesus Christ. You don't serve Narotan Presbyterian Church. You don't serve the Presbyterian Church USA. You don't serve Pastor Sam or Tony Ann or even the children. You serve Jesus Christ. So when you get a phone call from someone saying, are you willing to take a Sunday once a month to teach third graders? Or come with us and maybe lead a small group of middle schoolers? Ask, is this what God wants me to do? And if it is, then he will equip you and prepare you for it. In Ephesians 6:6-8, Paul says gives us great words to this in the message. And he calls us servants. And he says, servants, respectfully obey your earthly master. Obey your earthly masters, but always with an eye to obeying the real master, Christ. Don't just do what you have to do to get by, but work heartedly as Christ's servants, doing what God wants you to do. And work with a smile on your face, always keeping in mind that no matter who happens to be giving the orders, you're really serving God. Good work will get you good pay from the master, regardless of if you're a slave or a free. Each one of us, as we serve, he is equipping us for our service. And I think that there are many of us that say, well, I'm not perfect. If they only knew about this. If they only really knew the doubt that I sometimes have when I'm seeking God. And I feel the same way many times when I come up and preach or share with you, if you only knew some of the real things. But the faith that we have overcomes the doubt, and God uses the broken. God uses the people who have problems. There's a great story that maybe you've heard before that I'm going to close with and sharing to you. It's a letter that a search committee that was looking for a pastor received. So imagine the APNC that was looking for our new associate pastor, Pastor Brandy Drake. And imagine if she had received this letter, what the APNC would have said. It says, "Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, grace and peace to you from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. Understanding that your pulpit is vacant, I'd like to be considered for the job. You see, I love to preach, even though my preaching tends to stir up quite a bit of controversy. In fact, one of my sermons caused a riot. Actually, I've never been able to stay in one place more than 3 years. My health isn't too good. I have what's called a thorn in the flesh, to be perfectly honest. I'm not much to look at. I can assure you, however, this doesn't interfere with my ministry. I'm a bachelor by choice, never been married, never had any kids, but I'm surprisingly good at conducting family life seminars. If you do a background check, and I'm sure you will, you'll probably discover that I changed my name a while back, and I have been arrested a few times. But even in jail, I was able to have a successful ministry. People tell me that I'm quite a theologian, although I've never attended seminary. I hope you aren't looking for an administrator. I'm not too good at keeping records, and my memory's not too good. Sometimes I forget who I've baptized, for instance. But I'm a hard worker, although the things I want to do, I rarely do, and the things I don't want to do, I always end up doing. Go figure, but you know what? I found that everything works out fine in the end to those who love God and are called according to His purposes. Praise God. Well, let me know if you're interested. I can start next week. By the way, I wrote this with my own hand. Grace to you all, the Apostle Paul." So can you imagine what we would say to a volunteer, even, or much less a pastor? I don't know if Paul would make it into this pulpit today with these credentials that he comes. But each of us, maybe not in prison, maybe doing a prison ministry, or maybe changing your name, other things that he did. But he was open and willing to where God would lead him, open and willing to where God would call him to serve. And that's all we ask of you, wherever it is that you choose to serve, wherever you're equipped and called to serve, that you do it with God's power and God's love. Because He promises us that when we go obediently, when we go with His love and grace, that He will provide with us the tools, the equipment, the successes, the words to speak. In the name of Jesus Christ. Would you pray with me, please? Dear God, we do thank you for these great volunteers who do love you and know you, and want these children to know you and to desire you, to build a relationship with you. We pray, Lord, that you will continue to bless them in their understanding, their knowledge of you, that their study, their discipleship, their prayer life will just be an outpouring of your love for them. We pray, Lord, that you would just the ears that have heard these words, that they would not be forgotten, but you would etch them in our hearts, and as we serve you daily, that we continue to seek your guidance. Thank you for the children, for the youth that we are blessed to serve. Just help us to remember the awesome responsibility that we have. Thank you for the testimonies that are shared this morning and all who lead in this service. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.